the greater my zeal to learn all things. The plan of salvation, the order of God and other things that one has to learn, the greater my power of persuasion and my ability to convince others became. So I could show them the way. I had to do this for a long time, I don't know how long, because when you have settled down in the spiritual world, you no longer ask, what year is it, or how long did it take? Oh, that doesn't matter anymore. Everything is intertwined, you always live towards the future and don't ask what time or year it is and so on, it doesn't concern you anymore. And you forget your life on Earth too quickly. It seems unimportant what you have been. It is unimportant that you were a master or that you were a shepherd. The only thing that counts in life is what is significant and important in the other world. This is what is taken into account, what was won, what was lost in human life. And how do you balance things out in the new life? Once you have achieved this balance, you must make sure that things go up, that there is an ascent. And that is how my life was. At the present time I no longer have to worry about erring brothers and sisters, but I work in the heavenly workshops. It is suggested to me that the time will come for a new life. Yes, we talk a lot about the life that we must enter into. I believe we talk about life as much as people talk about death, because it is something that cannot be avoided. You cannot avoid death, and we in upward development cannot avoid being reborn, because we see exactly what can be gained. We recognize that ascension is achieved more quickly through human life. But there are many other things that play a role in this ascension, not just a new life on Earth. In this way it is made clear to all spirits that it is necessary for those who feel strong in some way to support the weak and pull them upwards, because everything must go upwards, because everything must return. And when a spirit is then told what glories and joys one could experience in the kingdom of heaven if the others were also at this or that level, then one makes an effort. One sees that one is not a stranger to the person on earth, but one recognizes him as a brother. And one knows, if this brother who lives here on earth has spiritual merits and lives in spiritual ascent, then his spiritual merits are also the merit of those who are in the other world, for the smallest effort of those on the other side for people on earth finds its reward. Anyone who does a good deed here as a human being is surrounded by protective spirits, by friends, by those who can learn from him. If this person does a good deed, he finds his spiritual reward in his soul. But he shares this spiritual reward with his friends who accompany him, who led him to the good deed, who inspired him to do it and gave him the strength to do it. The reward that a person has is still great enough for what he has done, but the loot, if one may say so, does not belong to him alone. He shares it with his spiritual brothers and sisters. If only people could see this. Now if someone fulfills a deed in any way or lives in a particularly glorious virtue, he brings wealth to his soul. But it brings wealth to all who are connected with him, they all share in his wealth. How wonderful it would be, if only it were, for a person if he realized that what he acquires and builds up in his soul in silence is not only for his own personal salvation, but that many others also share in his wealth. When spirits have realized that through people one becomes rich in spiritual possessions, in spiritual glory, then they naturally try with all their strength to get these people to do the right thing, to follow the divine laws, to obey them, to avoid passions, to do everything good. In other words, they are interested. It is just like a family, where everything has to be held together, where there is a feeling of belonging, where father and mother ensure that the goods they possess will one day also become the goods of their children. They are not only concerned with keeping it for themselves or gambling it away, but in their attachment they go so far that they want to give some of it to their children too. They are happy about it. This feeling of togetherness is much, much, much greater in the spiritual realm. You do not feel strangers to one another, as you humans are strangers to one another, but you have a share in the other person, in his joy and the wealth from the heights. You are connected to him. Therefore you are interested in his life and that he does good. If he does evil, he has his burden and is punished. And those who seduced him to evil also have their reward, they have their share, they have their joy in sin, and accordingly they also have the misfortune. It is always the same. Once an ascending spirit has recognized what it is all about, then he makes an effort, if he is willing to ascend. He knows that there is only one thing, one must help to fulfill this plan, which has been set. And one will share in the great wealth when it is fulfilled. So, dear brothers and sisters, I told you about my life, which brought me balance. Whether I will prove myself when the time comes for a new life on earth, I do not know. But I will hope so, and I will not assume that I will fall behind, for I am interested in the advancement of all, including my own. So I am ready to be taught in the spiritual world, and I will let myself be led. If a spirit does this, then life is beautiful and wonderful. Today I do not want to return to my old position on earth. I would much rather stay where I am forever. But I know that I am not allowed to. I know that I have to return. That is why I am enjoying my beautiful life to the fullest. However, I will fulfill the tasks that have been set for me with all my strength. I don't just want to increase my wealth, I want to see the wealth of my brothers and sisters. In this way we have a share in people, just as people have a share in us. I will now say goodbye. May God's blessing be with you. May you also find the power of balance in this world. May you recognize balance through the knowledge you have gained. This balance brings you wealth, inner joy, satisfaction, and this balance makes you and the spiritual world happy. Greetings from God. End of the recording. Edition from the first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt, following Daniel's report of his experiences. Spirit teacher Joseph answered a few questions that were about clarifying the term spiritual wealth. Joseph, the splendor and glory of a purified soul is a spiritual wealth. As a human being, one acquires spiritual wealth by proving oneself in the various trials of life, through charity, through sacrifice, tolerance and understanding, through compassion and renunciation, through the fulfillment of duty, humility, loyalty, through the great virtues, the good works, the observance of the commandments of God. One must become angelic in one's nature, not too much with the earthly world, but rather with the spiritual world of God, with His kingdom, which you ask for in the Lord's Prayer. It takes a lot to do that. Individual spiritual treasures that one acquires in life can be locked away in the innermost being. Because individual virtues and good deeds are not yet able to completely purify the human soul, so that their shine cannot penetrate. But if more and more good things are added, the moment will come when the power has become so great that everything can emerge and shine. If a person wins in this way, then his soul is purified, the innermost part of his soul takes on a more beautiful appearance for the spirit. It was also explained to you that a spirit that crosses over is clothed according to its life. But you should not think that a person who was only externally well-groomed, who was far from God and did not lead a good life, would appear in the other world in beautiful clothes and externally well-groomed. Yes, his garment may still be a replica of his human clothing, but in such cases it is no longer made of fine fabrics, but dirty and in tatters. If you people soil your clothes, you can clean them again. But if you soil your soul, it requires a long cleansing, a period of purification. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Daniel and questions answered by spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Münchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording and first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt. Plus YouTube, next case. September 6, 1961. Edgar, the meaning of intercessory prayer for the deceased. Digging trenches in a spiritual field. The preciousness of spiritual earth. Control spirit. God bless you all. I am the control. Dear brothers and sisters, an ascending spirit asks for your attention. May God bless you all this hour. God bless you. Edgar. God bless you. Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, I have been tasked with telling you something about my initial experiences in the world beyond. I must also briefly describe something about my life. My name was Edgar and I traded in various things. I didn't do badly in life. I earned good money in trade. When I took off my earthly clothes and entered the other world, I was surprised. I didn't really believe that life would go on. When I was alive, I said to myself, I hardly believe that there is anything after death. I assume that it will be over and you will only live on in the memories of your children. But there were times when I began to doubt whether I was thinking correctly. People prayed, and I also went to church now and then. Now and then I also did a good deed with the intention that it might still be of use to me if there was something after death. I did it once for this reason, and then I did it also so that other people could see that I was not only willing to do business and accept money, but that I also had a good heart and could give. So I did it to improve my reputation with people. I actually always did it with calculation, even when I thought it might be of use to me if there was something after death. Well, I was received. My relatives were there, and my parents. They greeted me and showed joy that I had now come back. But I didn't really understand everything they were saying to me, because I was still too dazed. I had to think about a lot of things so quickly, because a new world had opened up to me and I was amazed. I also saw busy beings around me, and I had the feeling that they had a special appearance and also had an important word to say. Then, I can't remember exactly, my parents left, and I was taken into care and led to a small house in a small garden. There I was allowed to rest a little. I can't say how long this lasted, because time can no longer be calculated like in human life. When I woke up again, these distinguished figures were around me. They were a bit taciturn, and one said to me, "Now you have to get up and come to work, you have to prepare yourself for work." Then I thought, yes, now I am in heaven, as everyone always talked about, and here I have to work. Yes, what kind of work will I have to do here? Because I believed that in heaven there is no work, only celebration. Then I had also been told to get ready to work. Yes, what should I have ready? I looked at myself, how I looked, whether I could go to work in this outfit. I was wearing a leg warmer and a jacket over it. It was clean, it looked as if it had been taken straight out of the laundry, it was therefore all crumpled, clean but crumpled. I knew that I could not make a show of my appearance. But since one of the distinguished figures had said to me, "You must get ready to work," I assumed that this was just good enough for that and did not worry, because, I believed, you do not need nice clothes to work. Then I said, "Yes, I think I am ready. I have nothing to take with me. I have no possessions, and I want to do my work." I had no idea what I was supposed to do. "Good," they said to me, "come with me." They walked part of the way with me and suddenly we were standing in front of a large field. People were already working there. The work was not just a new start, but I saw countless people who had to work in this field. That was of course interesting for me. I was not immediately informed about the things of this afterlife, so I had to keep my eyes open and observe. Now I saw that these many people who were there were digging deep trenches. Now I was given a spade and I had to help dig. They were pretty deep trenches. This field was very, very large and many, many trenches were being dug there. There was earth there, spiritual earth, and it had to be turned over, so they had to dig. Of course I also thought, what is the point of this? Is the construction going on there? Is there work to be done in this world like on earth? I had a lot of questions, of course, but I couldn't ask. I was put straight where my workplace was and told, "Here you are to do your work. You must dig just as deep as your brothers and sisters do. And when you have reached that particular depth, you must carefully place the spiritual earth on the left side, let's say." I did that, and I saw how many of these people here were working very diligently. I didn't dare ask what was being done here or what would come of it. I had no idea, and I thought, "Yes, you are now in the power of these people from the beyond. You have no choice but to obey." I thought back to my life, and I knew, yes, I was not always the righteous and pious person that one should be. When one comes into this new world, one immediately recognizes its master. It is the master of the house that people talk about in the earthly realm, but who is so strange, so unbelievable to many. And I thought, so one must obey, one has no other choice, and so you must pay off your injustices. While I was shoveling, I thought about it. Yes, I had also done some business that was not entirely honest. And once, this was beginning to bother me, I had asked someone for the same sum of money twice. He had nothing to prove that he had already paid, and I asked him to pay again, I said he had not paid. He claimed that he had paid. I knew it, but I knew that he had no proof, and the money was nice to me, and so he had to pay a second time. Of course I had become enmity with him, but that was all the same to me. It didn't bother me much, only when that hour came when I did something good with the intention that if there was still something after death, I would still have a profit. I could now think about the injustice I had committed. The person I had wronged was already in the other world. He had gone long before me, and I was afraid of meeting him. Here he would see straight away that I had known and had blackmailed him. The noble people who had been dealing with me had said nothing about it. I thought, I have my wages, now I can do this work. When I picked up the spade for the first time, I felt that it wasn't really heavy. I felt that it had no weight at all, that it was light. I too felt very light. When I was alive, I had been quite corpulent, and now I was slim. I had no ailments of any kind like I had when I was alive, and so I thought, you can work well and will probably be able to put an end to the evil. Because I saw the many, many others who were there, they weren't any better off. And so I knew, they all had something similar on their conscience as I had. Well, over time I did have the feeling that I was getting tired. There were guards there and at first I didn't know what that meant. They checked the depth of the trenches that were being dug. They got smaller and smaller. A handful of this earth. They tested it with their fingers and looked at it like a precious mass, weighed it and held it out as if it were gold. It seemed to me as if they were seeing God knows what in this material that was taken from the depths of this earth. These overseers stood together in groups and jointly controlled this spiritual earth. Then the order was given that from now on so much more had to be dug, and this earth was now to be placed on the left side, while the upper part was still placed on the right side. Now what we had dug up from the depths was immediately taken away. They came with baskets and also with shovels. They took this earth, put it in the baskets and carried it away. Where, I thought to myself, does this strange stuff come from? Well, later I was to be enlightened about it. So we did our work and were also able to make our observations. Personally, I didn't see anything special about this earth. I couldn't tell the difference between what was on top and what was on bottom. For me it was just earth. Well, the work did become arduous over time. I noticed that individual supervisors called certain brothers or sisters. Sisters also had to dig these ditches, and sometimes a larger group, away from work. They then walked a part of the way and disappeared into the forest. There was a small forest there. I didn't know where they went, they just disappeared and then came back after a while. I thought to myself, what are they doing? Where are they going? You weren't allowed to talk to each other when you were at work. You weren't allowed to talk to each other, you had to work. But there were also breaks. These supervisors gave a signal when the work no longer had to go on at the same pace and you could occasionally talk to each other while you were working. Then there was another sign that the conversation was over and that we had to work energetically again. That was the beginning, as I experienced it. Well, I didn't have the opportunity to ask someone who was called away, where have you been? I didn't dare either. But then one of these supervisors came to me and said, you can put down the spade and come with me. So I thought, yes, I'll have the same fate as the others. When they came back, I looked at them closely, they looked happy. There was something joyful about them and it seemed to me that they were going back to work with great joy. So they must have experienced something beautiful, that was clear to me. Well, I was happy. I put the spade aside with joy and stood next to this spirit, who now led me away, quite close to the forest. So many others went with me, it was actually always a coming and going. We walked through this small forest. Even when we were in the middle of this small forest, we heard a beautiful music playing quietly, and when we came to the end of the forest, we saw musicians. There they were, these musicians, playing and singing. My siblings stood around them, all just like I was, one in a slightly dirty outfit, the other had a crumpled outfit, just like me. Just as you were, you listened to these sounds and you were happy. I liked a little relaxation in this kind of musical way and I thought, hopefully I can stay here for a long time. I enjoyed this beautiful music and now thought to myself, perhaps this is the reward. They saw the good that I did. Immediately I thought, it was worth doing something good, even if I did it with the intention that it might be of use in an emergency. That's what I thought. After a while I was asked to leave the place and go back to work. I also saw the others being asked to leave the place again. And I saw how some of them tried to object or to ask, let me stay, just a little while, then I'll come. But these guards were so strict. They raised their hand or their finger and said a word, and then there was no more objection, you had to go with them. I also didn't see anyone resisting maliciously or getting angry, they just obeyed and left. I made this a lesson for myself, I didn't object, but I thought, if I've been here once, I'll definitely come here again. Then this guiding spirit walked beside me, and I gathered a little courage and asked, what was it that gave me this award? Why was I allowed to experience this? I never would have expected the answer I received. This spirit said, a child on earth, a child you know, prayed for you. Now I was astonished, what kind of child prayed for me? I had my relatives, my own children, who were already grown up and big. I had my grandchildren, who could it be? The companion saw my thoughts and said, no one you think, because they don't pray for you. Yes, now I was thinking about these things again, it's true, they don't pray for me. But who is it that prays for me? And then the companion said, it's the neighbor's child. Shortly before I died, before I passed away, I had given this child a treat, and the companion told me, you gave the child a treat on his birthday, you gave him a sum of money. The child looked up at you, and when he knew that you had died, he prayed for you. It asked the good Lord, take in this soul and repay it 1,000 and 1,000 times what he has given me. This is how this child prayed. Now I wanted to know, no one else has prayed for me. No, they often think of you, but they don't pray. Yes, that made me a little sad. I hadn't really thought about it until now. I hadn't had permission to go to my relatives either. I was assigned to my job, and I wanted to work, because I saw that one must be obedient to this master of the house. That was clear to me. I then went back to work full of joy. I had now experienced this music, because the child had prayed for me. This put me in a rather strange mood, and I hoped, this child will not forget me, it will definitely pray for me again. And so I happily continued my work, hoping that someone would call me again and say, you can put the spade down. But no one came to see me again. And so I had to assume that the child had already forgotten me. It prayed once and thought that it was enough to say to God, repay him 1,000 times for what he has given me. That was fine with the child, it was certain that God would grant every wish and so it felt that it was no longer necessary to continue praying. Now, when the opportunity arose to do this relaxed work where we could talk to each other, I naturally steered the conversation towards going out or visiting the musicians. I asked the others who had also been allowed to leave work, do people pray for you? Is that why you can go? And one of them said, yes, people pray for me, and then I am allowed to go. It is a wonderful thing when you can think that people are connected with you in prayer. Then the prayer becomes heavenly music for us. And someone said to me, you know, you have only just gone, the first time you cannot yet grasp what it means. You cannot understand it and cannot yet recognize the feelings when people on earth pray for you, what it means. It simply means the shared bond with God, and in this shared bond with God you experience something beautiful. You experience what you are allowed to experience, let's say, in accordance with your development. Then they discussed it and said that the others, who had lived better lives than we had, would certainly benefit more from people's prayers and would certainly experience much more beautiful things and much more than we experienced with these musicians at the end of the forest. And we said, they certainly have music all the time at work, they certainly don't have to work as hard as we do. And when they do work, it is probably much more edifying and beautiful than ours. So we talked to each other, and the foremen who were in charge of us listened and remained silent. They let us speak, we were never corrected in this regard, at least not at the beginning. I think that it was a pretty long time when I had to do this work and shovel. I did have the feeling that I could have done a better job, but no. Then you also experienced that other brothers and sisters would walk back and forth and look at you as if they were looking for someone or as if they wanted to look you in the face or say, "What, you have to do this work. I have a better job," and so on. Yes, you had the feeling that it was also about insults. At first there was no one there that I knew, and so I didn't care how they looked at me. But now, suddenly, the man I had betrayed came to me, and I saw him from afar. He was looking for me. I was ashamed, because my guilt was clearly visible. What should I do? I thought, should I put my spade aside, kneel down, ask him for forgiveness? Or should I pretend not to notice him and not see him? What should I do? I thought, and I pretended not to see him, but he remained standing in front of me and looked down into the pit and looked at me. He didn't say a word. He probably assumed that I would say something, but no. And he simply didn't go away. Then I said to him in a normal way, "Well, I think you've looked at me enough now. You also see my guilt. And you see after all what I now have to pay for my guilt. So please, leave the place." And he left, didn't say a word, he left. Then I thought and hoped that they would come and get me again, that I would be allowed to go back to the musicians. But they didn't come back. But this other man came, the one I had betrayed. He always crossed my path. A neighbor who was doing the work with me and who also saw my guilt waved to me, gave me a sign and indicated to me, "Why don't you come to an agreement with him, sort things out?" I was actually ashamed. I knew I had to sort things out, but I almost couldn't bring myself to say, "Please forgive me for what I did." That was difficult. But I still found it disgusting how he kept walking back and forth in front of me, always looking at me like that. I had the feeling that everyone who was there, saw it. This is the man I had betrayed, and he keeps walking back and forth to me until I confess my guilt and want to make amends. Then I begged him, "Leave the place and forgive me for what I have done." And he answered, "You just have to make amends for this. If you are prepared to make amends, then I will leave you alone." I replied, "Well, I will have to make amends. I promise to make amends." Then the guard gave him the sign that he should go away, that it was enough, that he should go. But I must stress that when I tell it like that, it sounds as if he had come once or twice. But that happened for a long time or many times. He came many times and tormented me many times, until I plucked up the courage to say to him, "Please, I want to make amends." How this was to happen did not interest me. I did not want to see him again. I wanted to make amends. That was clear to me. They did not come to me anymore. I could no longer go to the musicians, so I no longer had any freedom in that respect. But then they gave me the explanation: "You have been in the afterlife for so many years now, according to earthly calculations. Now we are going to relax your employment contract a little. You are doing your work to the best of your ability. We recognize that, we are now giving you more freedom." Freedom. I had submitted to the order because, as I emphasized, I recognized the master of the house. Now I did not know what this freedom consisted of. We could return to our community house after a certain amount of work that we had done, but had to go back to our work again at a signal, so, it was just a back and forth. but I saw that others had more freedom of movement than I did. Now I was also granted this greater freedom of movement. They explained to me, you have to report to work on such and such a date, and on time. Besides that, you have plenty of time left for yourself. Here you can do whatever you like.